stay or should I go now? Should I stay?
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today, and I really mean that. You know, today's show is originally going to be focusing specifically on a product of a sponsor of ours. And, you know, we do these sponsor spotlights because the people who sponsor our show make the show available to you for free. And I tell you all the time that if you like the show, you know, patronize the sponsors. And we have a sponsor that I'm really excited about, and we're going to talk about his product a little bit later in this interview, but I've always wanted to have a gastroenterologist on the show because I have so many questions, and these questions are not just mine. They're the questions of the listeners. I get these emails all the time from people asking for help with digestive problems. I would say that gut problems are probably one of the most popular problems that anybody has, and you can cut across all different types of socioeconomic lines of our population and find that people suffer from some sort of GI distress today. And my guest today is Dr. Kenneth Brown. How are you doing, Dr. Brown?
Carl, how are you doing? Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you. And we're going to talk about your product later in the show. And I want people to know that you have an amazing product. And your product really probably found its genesis. And a lot of the things we're going to talk about first today. And as a gastroenterologist, business has to be booming for you because is it my imagination or does everybody suffer from some form of GI distress today?
Well, it really seems that way. And yes, business is booming, but it's not booming in the way that any of us really want. I mean, it's booming with these chronic conditions. It's booming with lots of frustrated patients, and it's just growing exponentially. I mean, I've added three new partners in the last 5 or 6 years. We've got mid-levels coming on, and people are really frustrated. I think we're really on to something where, as a society, we're not treating our guts very well.
And especially when you have stupid commercials like Larry the Cable Guy saying, when the food you like doesn't like you, take a pill instead of don't eat that food. The message out there right now is if you want to eat crap that makes you sick, just take a pill so you can squelch the symptoms. And this is madness, is it not?
It is. I mean, we just really have to get back to something. Please don't even get me started with the pharmaceutical industry and the money that they're spending and trying to reach out to people and do that. Larry the Cable Guy is one example, but I was one of the researchers on a very large study that was done for a drug called Xifaxan, and it is cost prohibitive for most of my patients. And then I watched the Super Bowl last year, and they took an ad out. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
My patients can't afford it, but you can afford a $30 million 30-second ad or whatever it is these days. So, yeah.
And is that a proton pump inhibitor by any chance?
That particular one is not. That is more in the space that I did my research in, which is irritable bowel syndrome.
Ah, okay.
So,
okay.
And they all go everything. So the beauty, Carl, of the gut is that it's mouth to anus and it's all tied together. So you can talk about GERD and I can tie it into other things and
right.
It's all related. It's one long tube.
Yeah, exactly. And part of the problem that we have right now is that gut is treated independently of other diseases. When you have people who have autoimmune disorders, you have to look to their guts first because something's escaping from the gut that should have been sequestered and taken out through the anus, as you point out, and it's getting into the bloodstream. And these bad actors are being attacked by the immune system. And then tissue that looks similar to them gets attacked too, and you end up with rheumatoid arthritis, or you end up with Hashimoto's disease and these other diseases. And really, they treat those diseases and they ignore the fact that the gut is where they usually start.
100%. I mean, you're totally speaking my language here. There's been a shift recently where we're starting to realize that all these diseases, okay, I'll take it one step further. So that you have your intestines, you take in the outside world. So we're always, you know, accepting the outside world. Your intestines have to be intelligent enough. And what I mean by intestines, I mean specifically the cells that absorb the nutrients, which is your small intestine. When they need to decide what to absorb and what to not, what to fight and back off,
right,
it's a really, really, really complex process. Well, for some reason, we have had an absolute huge growth of all autoimmune disease. And I've heard some very eloquent and prestigious lectures, some professors now tying it all to the gut. And what it comes down to is it is gut permeability, otherwise known as leaky gut. So when you eat these bad diets, these, and what I mean by bad diet, I mean a lot of packaged, preserved, refined, processed foods, you kind of weaken that little barrier, that tight junction. The way that I like to tell my patients, think of it like this. If you have your tight junction is like a security guard, it's like a gate, and it has to decide what it's going to absorb, you know, what it's going to let into the through the gate and what it's going to keep out. Well, if it's under constant assault, that gate all of a sudden starts to not shut all the way. Mm-hmm. When that happens, your body starts to overreact to normal things. And then what it does is it thinks it's under attack and it says, hey guys, let's go ahead and mobilize. And what they mean is this one cell called a dendrite hands it off to a B cell. And then the B cell says, we need to go attack this. And they produce these things called antibodies. And the antibodies are what actually causes all autoimmune disease.
Right.
From rheumatoid arthritis to Crohn's. And so it's that tight junction that gets compromised. So it all starts in the gut.
Now, I remember just 5 years ago where there were people within the medical orthodoxy saying that leaky gut was nonsense. It was a lie. It doesn't happen. And finally, now we have more and more people within the medical orthodoxy going, okay, well, maybe there is something that's getting through. It's not just the wall of the gut either. If you have GERD, you basically have leaky gut. It's just leaking up into the tube instead of out through the walls.
I've never thought of that. Yeah, so acid reflux where your stomach contents come into the esophagus and cause damage. You're right. That is leaky gut by definition. That's funny. I'm going to start using that one.
I mean, really, any doctor who says, well, there's no such thing as leaky gut, I ask him, well, what is GERD? Isn't your gut leaking up into your esophagus at that point in time? And the esophagus isn't designed to handle the how do you pronounce it, chyme that's in your stomach, you know, the digested food and mucus and all that other stuff that forms. Your esophagus isn't designed to keep that out of the bloodstream. It's going to be absorbed and sent into the bloodstream, even if it's in small amounts at a small time.
Okay, so as long as we're talking about acid reflux, here's something that we all need to think about. You have all these proton pump inhibitor ads, and we're now seeing a big backlash, at least in the literature, about how these PPIs can actually cause certain problems.
Yeah.
Including dementia and
yeah, because there are obviously there are proton pumps in other things besides the gut. It's in the heart. They're in the brain. There's proton pumps.
So here's what's really interesting. Since we've since these drugs have taken off, the rise of esophageal cancer, and I'm not blaming the drug. What I'm saying is we're doing something else. The rise of esophageal cancer is 700-fold over the last 10 years. There's something called Barrett's esophagus. So for your listeners, if you have acid reflux and you hurt, don't ignore it. Because even though that I'm saying that these drugs can sometimes cause problems, not taking them can be equally problematic and can lead to esophageal cancer.
Right.
So when these things are coming up there, like you really have to realize it now. And I am completely speaking honestly here. I actually have bad acid reflux. My mom had acid reflux. My dad had acid. I mean, there's something genetic in me that leads to some acid reflux. And I will periodically take these medications to control the symptoms. And I consider myself kind of in tune to my body. I really try and, you know, stay in shape and I try and eat right and everything. And even then, I'll end up with these episodes where I'm like, whoa, that is not fun at all. And I understand that if I let that go, that could actually turn into something really bad.
So, but now, but let, so, so really, in my humble opinion, and I, obviously I have no accreditation whatsoever, but PPI should be used as a rescue pill, not something that you're on for the rest of your life, to suppress the acid that's damaging the esophagus while we figure out what went wrong with the esophageal sphincter. No one ever talks, whenever we talk about GERD, it's always addressed as, well, you know, you've got too much acid in your stomach. That's nonsense. What's happened is the manhole cover at the top of the gut seems to have breached. And we're talking about muscles and nerve innervation now. We're talking about a sphincter that's not closing completely. Why are we not looking at the mechanics of GERD and we only look at acid in the gut?
Okay, that is a phenomenal question. So one of the misconceptions about acid reflux is that if you suffer from it, you have a sphincter that won't close. Now, there is a small percentage of people that have acid reflux where that sphincter won't close. And when we talk about sphincters, we have an upper esophageal sphincter, which I do want to touch on because that leans to something called LPR, and we'll talk about that
which
in a second.
Which is growing even more in our population. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then the lower esophageal sphincter. Then you have a pylorus, and then, of course, we get down to the anus, where then we have the you have the internal muscles and you have your external sphincter. So the body has several sphincters. This just happens to be one of them. So if you can imagine, what we now know is that the majority of people that suffer from acid reflux have what's called a transient lower esophageal sphincter relaxation, kind of a long term, and it's actually has an acronym called TLESR. But all of that is irrelevant because basically what happens is in the majority of people, your lower esophagus, for reasons we don't totally understand yet, spontaneously opens and allows the gastric contents to come up and down. And then it'll close again. So the muscle is capable of closing. It's just it's opening for no real reason. And there's lots of theories to it, leading to like one of them that we're going to talk about, which is like bloating. So if you bloat in your small bowel, then the stomach goes, oh, we're full. And it tries to decompress the whole system. So it will open the lower esophageal sphincter. And unfortunately, the stomach doesn't know that it doesn't have any air in it. So typically, this would be like a burp. So a transient lower esophageal sphincter relaxation is actually burping. But the stomach doesn't really understand that there's no air. It's just trying to do it's trying to help out in any way it can. So it may not be our most intelligent organ in our body. There are other more intelligent organs like the kidneys and the tight junction in the small bowel, but the stomach's trying to help out.
This is really interesting. So the first thing I start to think of is what role does nitric oxide play in the spontaneous relaxation of this muscle? And this it's complex because we know that PDE5 inhibitors can give people GERD. And so we know that phosphodiesterase inhibition, especially of the 5 form, which increases nitric oxide in certain tissues, seems to cause GERD in some people. So is there a chance that something is going on in these individuals where nitric oxide is being upregulated, maybe because of their diet? They eat a lot of nitrates in their diet or something like that.
That is a super interesting theory. We do know that people tend to have more reflux when those performance enhancing drugs came out, like Viagra.
Right.
I would have people that would come in and be like, hey, my doctor gave me this Viagra, works really well for the lower end, but I get horrible reflux afterwards. So we do know that nitric oxide plays a role. Nitric oxide is a smooth muscle relaxer. So these muscles will relax, and that's awesome for your heart, right? And it's also awesome for other organs, which is why Viagra exists. But it can actually take these sphincters that normally stay very, very contracted and make them relax a little bit. So nitric oxide is certainly one of them. The other things that have actually been brought up before is the way that we're getting rid of this bacteria called Helicobacter pylori,
right,
or H. pylori. Have you ever heard of that before?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so H. pylori is really interesting. About 30 years ago, it was felt that people developed ulcers due to stress, and they were anxious, type A personalities. And there was this super smart Australian gastroenterologist who said, no, I believe that some of these ulcers are being caused by bacteria. So his research showed that there was a bacteria called H. pylori. Nobody believed him. As all things in medicine, when you try and push boundaries, you're considered crazy. And he proved it by taking a whole spoonful of it and then created his own ulcer and almost died. Everybody went, oh, I guess maybe there's some validity to that. The problem is that we thought that we had discovered this new bacteria, and we've been eradicating it for the last 20 years.
And that may not be the greatest thing in the world, because it shows that have you read the book Missing Microbes?
No, I have not.
Well, they talk about H. pylori being protective against childhood asthma. Some amount of H. pylori is healthy, but I guess when there's an overgrowth, that's when we have a balance tipping situation.
Yeah, this is the conversation I have with my patients all the time, because everybody says, oh, my general doctor drew a blood test. He says I have H. pylori. And number one, you may have been exposed to H. pylori by having just what's called IgG positive. Or number two, even if you have H. pylori, it may not be hurting you at all. So if you go to the if you go to India, you will find that 80% of the people have H. pylori. I think I've read that almost 100% of all gastroenterologists have H. pylori. I am not getting myself checked. If I end up having some sort of problem, ulcer, something that makes me think that there's a problem, then of course I'll go get checked. But getting rid of it in everybody is probably not the right thing. We thought that this was like a new thing that we discovered. And now that we can do DNA analysis, they're finding exhumed bodies that actually had H. pylori.
Right.
So it's like, wow, we've had this with our – I mean, we've had this through our entire lives. I mean, our entire – you know, evolution.
Yeah, through evolution. Yeah, it's part of our evolutionary journey. Exactly.
Yeah. So remember I said earlier, why are we having a 700-fold increase in esophageal cancer? Why does everybody have GERD? Well, there are some experts that believe that one of the reasons why these transient lower esophageal sphincter relaxations take place is because there's not H. pylori in a certain part of the stomach because we eradicate it with antibiotics. Mm-hmm. So it is not – it probably is not the villain that it was made out to be.
Right. You've got to read you love Missing Microbes. I'll send you the link to the book after the interview.
Oh, beautiful.
Could you really – I mean the book chronicles the introduction of antibiotics and all the problems that have occurred ever since and gives conclusive evidence. And they talk about H. pylori in it. They show that children who had H. pylori were less prone to developing childhood asthma, and children who had no H. pylori developed childhood asthma predictably. And so that's when they said, you know, H. pylori is not the villain – there's something else going on, but it's an interesting concept. So let's talk a little bit more about GERD for just a second. What is the possibility that that leaky gut is the reason for GERD, but not because of what we think? What if the leaky gut is affecting the vagus nerve? And we know the vagus nerve controls everything from developing tinnitus in the ears to developing GERD, that relaxation, because you lose the innervation to the muscle momentarily if there's a low tone, if you will. What about that leaky gut leaking out into the sides and affecting the vagus nerve?
So the leaky gut aspect itself, now what that's going to do is that's going to create inflammation in your body. And I'm a believer that inflammation is the root cause of most of our diseases. Mm-hmm. If you've got inflammation going on, I do not know a direct correlation to the vagus nerve, but we do know that the vagus nerve is extremely important. It goes from the brain all the way down through your intestines. It regulates acid production. It does all kinds of really important things. Remember when people used to have ulcers before the PPIs, the treatment was just to cut the vagus nerve in the stomach, so that they wouldn't be able – it was called a vagotomy – so that they wouldn't be able to produce any type of acid at all.
Oh, how terrible.
So, oh, it's – well, you know, we did –
barbaric. That's barbaric. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Medicine has not been very nice at various periods throughout our history. So the if you think about it, the leaky gut is caused by most likely one of three things. It's going to be caused by bacterial overgrowth, which is bacteria growing where it shouldn't be, stimulation via foods that we eat that sort of attack the area, and then a protein called zonulin that we make in response to being exposed to a lot of gliadin, which is in wheat.
Right.
So when you have that, that creates this intestinal permeability that leads to overall inflammation. And when you look at end organ, meaning when you look at the heart, the brain, where you can actually do an autopsy and see, you can actually measure inflammatory markers and such. We do know that when people have that, their inflammation goes up in their whatever organ it is. We believe that this probably causes the calcification in the heart. So we believe this probably causes dementia. So it only fits that if you've got inflammation floating around and you get this really important nerve, the vagus nerve, there's probably something to tie to it. Mm-hmm. I'm unaware of a direct one-on-one, but it is a very, very interesting thought that maybe we're messing with the vagus nerve a little bit.
I wanted to, because a lot of these people also have AFib, they've got rhythm issues with their heart, but that's another story entirely. I want to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about something a little more sinister, because there's less of a noticeable symptom with LPR, which is a different form of GERD, because it's not the lower esophageal sphincter. It's the one right beneath the voice, the larynx, the voice cords. And this one is a little harder to call, but it's just as harmful and dangerous. So let's talk about that when we come back from the break, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
You've tried countless products that promise digestive relief, but you still suffer from bloating. Do you avoid foods that give you a distended stomach and abdominal discomfort? Want something that actually works? You need Otrantil. Otrantil is the first in its class to naturally target the root cause of bloating and finally deliver real relief. Developed by a gastroenterologist, Otrantil is the only proven over-the-counter solution for bloating. Learn more at lovemytummy.com. Otrantil is backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. Visit lovemytummy.com today. Use code SHR for 10% off. You've heard about turmeric, and you probably use it. It's one of the most talked-about health foods in America. Pure Indian Foods sources certified organic turmeric from small farmers in India. This limited edition turmeric is standardized to contain high, naturally occurring curcumin, which is the good stuff you want. It's also lab tested for heavy metals, which you want less of in your food. Psst, don't tell too many people about it. It's limited edition. Get yours today. Go to highcurcuminturmeric.com today to learn more.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality, pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to superhumanradio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Kenneth Brown, and we're talking right now about some of the gut problems that many of you in this audience share, I'm sure. I, too, suffer from some of these things, and I've found ways to control them, but clearly they came on at some point in my life and just kind of took hold. Later in the show, we're going to talk about something that could actually help you. This is not a pimp job. I wanted to talk to a gastroenterologist for the longest time because I've had these specific questions that we're talking about today. LPR is another thing that seems to be all of a sudden, out of the blue, everybody's getting it. It's a lot harder for a person to determine. Sometimes the only thing they'll notice is maybe a sour taste in their mouth or their voice changes, gets a little hoarse. Or they find that they have to cough and clear their throat often. But this is a different type of esophageal sphincter failure, and it's further up right under the voice box, right?
Correct. Yeah, so LPR actually stands for laryngopharyngeal reflux. So I had mentioned earlier that we've got primarily four sphincters in our bodies, three major ones. The first one that we have is right at the back of your mouth there. That's where the esophagus and the trachea sit, and the esophagus will open up to allow you to swallow, and that's how it allows things to go into the esophagus. So what we believe is that LPR is a reflux, mostly happens at night on people. They don't realize it's happening. If you're having acid reflux, and it can actually creep up the esophagus, it becomes an irritant, and it requires very, very little acid reflux to spill up through that sphincter to create all kinds of problems, like the hoarseness that you talked about and the coughing and all these other issues that a lot of people struggle with, chronic sinusitis, asthma. These are all related to LPR.
Yeah, because you're aspirating some of that.
Essentially, yeah, you're going to aspirate. And the thing that we realize is that your lower esophageal sphincter can take a pretty good beating, meaning that it has what's called squamous mucosa, which is the same skin that is on the outside of us, like our hands. And on the upper part there, that squamous mucosa isn't around. You've got very tender vocal cords that are right there. You've got the posterior pharynx, which is, you know, you got your tonsils. All that stuff is much more sensitive to any type of acid exposure than your lower esophagus.
So do we know anything about this form of breach, if you will? I've read somewhere that doing extensions with the neck can actually help correct it. Do we know anything about this form of GERD or whatever you want to call it, LPR?
Yeah, quite a bit. Unfortunately, it's probably our fault as gastroenterologists telling all the 10 years ago when we were talking about reflux, we told all the ear, nose, and throat guys, oh, hey, you're all missing reflux. And so what a lot of your listeners may have done is if they've gone in and they see an ear, nose, and throat guy, they'll take a little camera and go through the nose and look at the vocal cords and go, wow, your vocal cords are really red. You've got a lot of acid reflux known as LPR. And so we realize that we have taught the ear, nose, and throat guys. We taught the pulmonary guys. And unfortunately, everything has become reflux related. So probably too many people are taking PPIs because of this particular problem. If you have hoarse voice, yes. If you have cough, yes, it's worth trying. But we think that there's a lot more involved than just the physical dropping of acid back there. It looks like there could be nerves related you mentioned earlier about the heart and AFib and all that stuff.
Right.
It's actually a little bit related in the sense that when we're – there's a science called embryology, which is how we form as humans when we're growing. So as it turns out, the heart and the esophagus at some point when we go through the fetal stage, it actually carries and separates itself. So they share nerves. So a lot of people can end up going to an emergency room feeling like they've got a classic heart attack, crushing substernal chest pain, going to the left shoulder, left jaw. And as it turns out, it's just acid reflux because the nerves, the brain can't distinguish between the nerves because they come from the same embryologic part. So we realize that there's probably with this LPR some nerve irritation that happens due to reflux that actually makes the upper esophagus, the upper esophageal sphincter, relax a little bit. And even then, we've realized that sometimes it can irritate nerves in the lung. Doesn't necessarily just have to be aspiration, but there's some nerve interchange where it actually can irritate something called a P fiber. And so I get people all the time that have been coughing for 6 months. I mean, it's miserable. They go to the ear, nose, and throat guy. They go to the allergy guy. They go to the pulmonary guy. Everybody says, we can't figure it out. It's probably acid reflux. Then they come to me, and then we can do tests to try and determine if it is acid reflux.
Okay, so what can be done about LPR? Is there anything that can be done? Because I know with the lower esophageal sphincter, they have a surgery now where they can kind of wrap some skin around the muscle and make it tighten up and so on. Can anything be done for LPR?
Yes. So if you control the lower acid reflux, if we do prove that it's LPR, if you do have a lot of acid, we can do a test called a Bravo test where if I were to take you, I can actually take an endoscope down and I can place a radio transmitter that senses pH in your lower esophagus about halfway up. And then we monitor you for 4 days, 2 days off medication, 2 days on medication. And what that tells us is that either you have a lot of acid reflux or you don't. If you don't, then we really start thinking of other things. If you do, then we can say, look, it's possible that your cough is being caused by this. If your symptoms correlate with that. So let's look at different ways we can treat this. Number one, you just mentioned it. We can treat the acid reflux by doing a surgery where they wrap the top part of the stomach around the bottom part of the esophagus. That's called a Nissen. Then there's two other more recent ways that we've been using on a lot of people. One of them is called a Lynx. It's a L-Y-N-X. And what it is, it's a magnetic ring that actually can be placed minimally invasively into the lower esophagus. And then there's actually something that people are doing endoscopically where they're actually trying to go with an endoscope so you don't have to have any type of surgery at all, and it actually tries to close up the lower esophagus a little bit. So that's one way to do it, is to treat the actual acid reflux. Then what I do for my patients is I realize that LPR most likely is nighttime reflux. So I like to treat the acid that potentially could be going on at
just
night.
Just at night. Yeah.
Just at night, exactly. And there's two products I like to use for that. One of them is a PPI called Zegrid. And then, of course, our old school drugs, the Zantac and the Pepcids, actually work really well for the nighttime.
What about sodium bicarbonate before bed?
So sodium bicarbonate, the problem with that is if you do have quite a bit of acid reflux, when you take the sodium bicarbonate, you're going to raise the pH. When that happens, your body senses the pH that goes up.
And it makes more acid.
It'll make more acid, yeah. So unfortunately, you get this vicious cycle. So you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Which is actually one of the reasons why, if you look at some studies, people that did not – they took normal people that did not have any symptoms when they were studying these proton pump inhibitors, and they put them on it for like, let's say, a month. When they took them off, a lot of those people that had no problems before were having horrible heartburn.
Sure.
The body was overcompensating.
Right, rebound.
More acid.
Right. So bottom line is LPR is secondary typically to GERD. In other words, some acid is getting into the esophagus and making it up to that upper group of muscles in order for that to be causing problems. But what if you don't have heartburn and you just have the LPR?
Well, that's a really good point, because then a lot of these people that don't know that they have heartburn, but they're showing up with a chronic cough and hoarse voice, it's all happening at night. So they're like, oh, I didn't know that happened. I slept fine. I woke up and I've got this hoarse voice.
I'll be
so
damned.
That's what, Yeah. So that's actually one way that it can actually happen. And then the other way is that the nerve interaction, where a little bit of acid reflux stimulates the lower esophagus, goes up the nerves, relaxes the upper esophagus, and it goes on, even though they're not feeling anything.
Okay. Couple real quick questions about GERD, and then we're going to change the topic, and we're going to come back and we'll talk about Atrantil, okay? Because this is everybody is looking for remedies, especially for bloating. So many people complain about, I ate a little food and I'm so bloated now, and I've even eaten certain foods. I know what they are. I know what foods make me feel like my stomach has been pumped with air. It's uncomfortable. I can't even get to sleep when it feels like that. So I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. But before we go there, let's just wrap up GERD with these three questions. Does GERD cut across gender lines at all? Do we see more GERD in men versus women, or is it pretty much not gender specific?
Well, I think if you look at the literature, you will see that there's traditionally it was men had more GERD. But in my own practice, no, I'm saying it is equivalent on both sides.
Okay. Snoring, a byproduct of GERD, or could it actually help break down the integrity of the esophageal sphincter by sucking on it like that?
Ooh, that is a great question. So I'm a big fan of sleep and sleep hygiene and sleep medicine because I think it really affects our bodies in so many different ways. So snoring, chicken or the egg kind of thing.
Right.
What can happen is the reflux can stimulate some snoring.
Right. Because everything swells. All the pipe up north gets swollen. Sure.
Correct. And then of course, if you snore, you know anybody that does, what happens is when you snore and you even have some apnea episodes, you create intrathoracic pressure, and it actually works like a pump. It'll actually suck acid up.
Right.
So it kind of goes hand in hand, unfortunately. So sometimes the acid reflux can make the snoring worse, and if we correct the snoring, it can make the acid reflux better.
And lastly, race. Do we see any racial divide in the development of GERD? Do African Americans tend to develop it just as much as Eastern European descent, or is there something else going on?
Well, I gotta admit a little bit of ignorance on the data on this as far as what the literature says, because I have not actually looked at that. Once again, in my own practice, it is non-discriminatory. I have male, female, black, Asian, it doesn't matter. It's affecting everybody that lives here in the U.S.
Okay. So if someone is suffering from GERD, they need to go see a gastroenterologist and possibly be evaluated for the severity of the GERD and if there's any damage inside the esophagus that needs to, as you pointed out, Barrett's esophagus syndrome. But theoretically, they could use maybe an H2 blocker or something similar short-term as a rescue to see if changing what happens at night when they sleep changes the whole problem, it sounds like, huh?
Certainly could. And one of the reasons why these drugs are everywhere now is because they're over the counter. And so a lot of people are self-treating, which is probably why we're seeing a lot of people that are on unnecessary PPIs. Mm-hmm. They have one long night out, drink a little too much, eat a little too late. And then what that does is that can actually create a little bit of nerve irritation. And then so for the next week, they really feel miserable. So they're like, oh, they see Larry the Cable Guy. I'm going to go out and get this medicine and then stay on it. Yeah. When the reality is doing a short course of a H2 blocker. And I say H2 blocker because once you're on a PPI, it takes a little longer to work. Those are those proton pump inhibitors. H2 blockers, histamine blockers, work quicker and they're easier to get off of.
Right.
So,
and there's a lot less evidence that there's other complications. PPIs have been linked to heart failure now, dementia, and we don't know if it's directly causative from the drugs or corollary to what the drugs do that then causes these things. But I would go with an H2 blocker personally before I would go with a PPI.
Yeah, if you can get away with it, I try to have all my patients. Whenever I put a patient on a PPI, I try to come up with a plan on how to get them off. And
Good. We
do that by weaning because I don't want them to have that rebound where they don't take it for 2 days and they are just miserable.
Yeah.
We really try and wean them off. And so that's kind of the plan. Ideally, we'd like to get everybody off. That being said, I've got so many patients that have Barrett's. I have to talk them into staying on it because I'm scared about cancer. We do know that it helps prevent esophageal cancer.
And I suspect – and I've talked about this on the show, actually, not too long ago. I suspect that people who develop lung cancer, who have never smoked and are not working in an environment where they are exposed to things that lead to lung cancer may have, in fact, suffered from LPR and GERD for long periods of time, to where they are now aspirating an almost atomization of acid day in and day out into their lungs, and it causes alveolar inflammation that could potentially lead to cancer. I think that lung cancers need to be investigated. Some of them, I believe, are linked back to this disorder.
It is quite possible. I mean, we get people that are sent to me by dentists because they're having enamel erosion in the back of their mouth.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's able to do that, you know, clearly certain parts of our bodies were meant to handle that particular environment, and our mouth and our vocal cords and our lungs are not.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about something that could actually help a bunch of people out there. So stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
You've tried countless products that promise digestive relief, but you still suffer from bloating. Do you avoid foods that give you a distended stomach and abdominal discomfort? Want something that actually works? You need Otrantil. Otrantil is the first in its class to naturally target the root cause of bloating and finally deliver real relief. Developed by a gastroenterologist, Otrantil is the only proven over-the-counter solution for bloating. Learn more at lovemytummy.com. Otrantil is backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. Visit lovemytummy.com today. Use code SHR for 10% off.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vint's banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vint's for $45 while supplies last.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back. Well, we address a lot of problems, and people go, what do we do? This next discussion, I would imagine this product found its genesis in a lot of these things that you deal with on a day-in and day-out basis, especially bloating and distended stomachs are a huge problem in our population, so much so that a few years ago I read a study that evaluated the change in girth, waist circumference, without the accumulation of body fat. And this particular study was pointing at the fact that more and more people have distended stomachs, almost like someone blew them up with air, so much so that they end up having to buy larger pants, bigger belts to accommodate this. And I've seen this. And I remember one day I was driving someplace and I saw this guy who was rail thin, but he looked like he was 8 months pregnant. And we're seeing more and more of this, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. Those of you out there listening to the show know that it's something that you'll eat, you're not sure what it is, but you get home and you literally are uncomfortable that your stomach is so bloated. And this is air and gas, and I mean, it's not just volume of food. There's some reaction going on in there. So you had to be seeing this in your practice, right?
Oh, 100%. So one of the biggest things is, as a gastroenterologist, and I think that any gastroenterologist that hears this would probably agree, is that the biggest problem we deal with is bloating, because bloating, actually, we don't have a good treatment for it. And that's exactly where I was 10 years ago when I was doing clinical research, when we realized that that same paradigm shift that we talked about earlier, where we realized that H. pylori could be causing ulcers. We now realize that one of the reasons why people bloat like this is because bacteria starts to grow where it shouldn't be. Now, we have our microbiome, and it's very important to our overall health, but all those bacteria, the 100 trillion bacteria, they should be living in your colon. What happens is, if you go through a real stressful experience, physical or emotional, have an infection, or eat a really bad diet, then what you can end up having is a change in the motility. So think of it like this, Carl. If you've got a free-flowing, crystal-clear stream, and then you dam it up on two sides, and then it turns into a little cesspool.
Right.
Bacteria can start growing. Then anytime you eat, you start blowing up. So we see it all the time.
Okay. What about alcohol? Alcohol consumption, does this contribute to this problem? I mean, I'm talking about the overgrowth of bacteria where it shouldn't be.
The alcohol consumption doesn't necessarily contribute to the overgrowth. It can contribute to intestinal damage. And regarding our other discussion with GERD, it certainly contributes to the acid reflux due to the relaxing the lower esophageal sphincter.
Okay. All right. So and now are we talking about – so two things. First of all, right now people like – even myself, I'm guilty of this, are pounding down probiotics. But the reality is that these microbes, as you point out, should be inhabiting a certain area of the digestive tract. But taking something like VSL number 3, which has 450 billion CFUs per pouch, couldn't that actually plant microbes in areas of the digestive tract that we don't want them, especially if you're taking a PPI or an H2 blocker, and you're changing the pH of the gut where now these microbes can actually live in the gut where they shouldn't be?
So this is a really debatable type subject, and it's really complex. You have people on both sides of the fence. I do know that the person that came up with the whole concept of bacterial overgrowth, known as SIBO, S-I-B-O,
right.
Mark Pimentel out at Cedars-Sinai, at his institution, they don't allow any probiotics at all, because the belief is that if you've got bacteria growing where it shouldn't be, then all you're doing is adding fuel to the fire. And so you're going to add more bacteria into that area. We do know that in a petri dish, the probiotics do amazing things. It can improve the intestinal cell integrity. It can help decrease inflammation and all these other things. I've met with some of the leading probiotic researchers in the country, and they say, look, we know it does amazing things here. We just cannot seem to reproduce it on a consistent basis in humans.
Right.
And that's part of the problem, is that I tell my patients, look, if it works for you, that's awesome. On an individual basis, probiotics might work. But if they actually worked, then I wouldn't have a clinic, because everybody's on them and they've tried a bunch of different ones. So I basically tell people I think that probiotics do play a role. I prefer to get those through my diet.
Yeah, like sauerkraut or, you know.
Sauerkraut, kimchi, right. Stuff right. Like that. And the reason why is because those vegetables are polyphenols. They're really good molecules that our bacteria can use as prebiotics, and they can hold the probiotics inside of it. So I like to do it through food personally.
Okay, so talk about I want to pronounce it right. It's atrantil, right? Atrantil.
It's atrantil, like okay.
So is atrantil good for people who have SIBO?
So this is actually why we developed it in the first place. I was sitting in a situation where we were doing the research for that drug I was talking about earlier, Xifaxan. And the researchers I was talking about with the country, they said that the problem is that anybody that bloats with constipation is not going to get better on this. They proved that what happens is in the SIBO, you can have a type of bacteria called an Archaebacter, which actually produces methane. So when this bacteria produces methane in your small intestine, it slows everything down. So if we've got a small little cesspool, and now you have bacteria producing right. methane, it makes it bigger because it actually works as a local paralytic. So now you've got a bigger thing, and this is where the chronicity comes in. The kicker is this. The Archaebacter, known as a methanogen, is in its own kingdom and will not be affected by modern day antibiotics. So that's when I started looking at natural reasons to go ahead and fix this. My research manager at the time, we were discussing, and she was a policy writer for a senator in Iowa. She goes, you know, they were trying to mandate farmers to put certain food products in the feeds of cattle to decrease the methane production from the cattle because of the greenhouse
effect. Right. Yeah, exactly. I know. Cow farts are all the rage now because we're blaming holes in the ozone on cow farts now. Right.
Exactly. Right. And that was my aha moment. I just went, we need that literature right now. And we found that the three ingredients in atrantil, this is why we put these three together for a very specific mechanism of action. The embalsame, which is peppermint leaf. We wanted the leaf for the polyphenols. Conker tree. And then Quebracho Colorado. Quebracho is the one that nobody's ever heard of. That is our workhorse. That's what makes atrantil completely different. Those three ingredients work together because the first one, the peppermint, will actually calm the area down, and it allows time for the other two ingredients to work. These are big molecules, so they don't get absorbed. They work in the area that we need them to work. Remember, if you take antibiotics, they get absorbed, go through your whole system, and then hopefully get rid of the infection where it's at. We designed this to specifically get rid of the bacterial overgrowth. Then the next ingredient is the Quebracho. And the Quebracho comes in, and this is a really big molecule that soaks up all the gas. And what's beautiful about that is it comes from the bark of a really old tree that has a natural defense against Archaebacter.
Interesting.
So, yeah, we have this thing that basically gets rid of the one problem that we can't get rid of. The third ingredient, the conker tree, just sort of is the icing on the cake. What it does is it shuts off the enzyme that produces the methane. So you have something that calms it, you got something that gets rid of it, and then you got something that gets rid of the methane.
Okay, so do you take atrantil throughout the day, or do you take it before or with meals? How do you use it?
So there's several ways. If any of your listeners actually suffer from frequent bloating, now it's not just bloating. Also, we had discussed a little earlier about the intestinal integrity. Most of the patients that I see will say, look, I eat and I feel 5 months pregnant. And then I'll say, do you ever feel like you're in a brain fog? They'll be like, yes. I'm like, do you feel fatigued? Yes. Are you gaining weight? Yes. And I'm eating less. Well, that tells me that they've got methane in there creating inflammation, causing the bloating, but then the systemic problems associated with it. So for those people, they need to be very aggressive. And we did two clinical studies on it. And we can show that if you bloat, 4 out of 5 people are going to get better. You're going to take 2 capsules 3 times a day with food for at least 10 to 20 days. Basically, you take it till you start feeling better. Then, since these are actually polyphenols in there, those are good molecules for you, almost all my patients stay on it as 2 every day. So if you have serious symptoms, it's 2-3 times a day till you get better. treat it aggressively. Then you go on it on a daily supplement. Then the third population, which is somebody like me, is I actually have gluten intolerance. Mm-hmm. So whenever I eat gluten, it actually makes me pretty sick. And I get real bloated, and then I have to go to the restroom. And so it took me a long time to figure out that it was gluten doing it. But I can actually go eat bread if I take Atrantil with it, and then I don't have any symptoms. So we do know that food sensitivities like gluten actually respond to it as well.
Now, will Atrantil actually remedy the problem, or is it just a fix to kind of deactivate? Like, in other words, if you keep shutting down methane and you keep doing the things that Atrantil does, will there be a depopulation of these particular bacteria?
Actually, no. What we're seeing is that it, based on the animal studies that we did, this is why we have this. What it does is it gets the bacteria to go back to where they should be, which is the colon. So okay. All we're doing is restoring you back to normal. So there's people, what we've seen, and we've had tremendous success with this, and I'm very open to feedback from everybody. So when it doesn't work, I want to talk to people and I want to see, okay, why didn't it work? And right. Then we can go through all that. But most of the people, when they take it, they get better. And then they're just back to normal. The beauty is I want all my patients forgetting that they even have intestines. Because generally speaking, you shouldn't be aware that any type of digestion is going on. Because right. That's just happening all the time. So I love it when my patients come back to me and I'm like, hey, is your bloating better? And they go, oh, yeah, come to think of it. Yeah, I'm actually here because I'm here for my screening colonoscopy this time. I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then they go, oh, I forgot that I even had that. I love that. I love getting people to forget that their intestines are a problem.
Does methane have a smell?
Funny you should bring that up. Methane does not, but we a gas called hydrogen sulfide smells extremely bad, and that actually causes diarrhea. So we do know that the bacteria can produce either methane, hydrogen, or hydrogen sulfide. So it is kind of funny. Methane does not actually smell, but the hydrogen sulfide. So
the reason I ask is because there's a strange phenomenon with me. When I'm eating foods that that work for me, and I'm a person who looks at my stool, because I feel like your stool tells the story of whether or not the food you're eating is good for you. If you have a solid, tubular-shaped stool and there's very little mess, I believe that's good food for you. And if you have, like, custard coming out where you have to wipe for a half hour to get out of the bathroom, that's probably not good food for you. That's just my theory. I have there's no basis for this other than, like, my own insights. But I noticed that when I do eat foods that aren't good for me, that bloat me, my flatulence has zero smell. No smell at all. So I'm thinking maybe that's methane. Maybe I am one of the people who needs to be taking Atrantil.
Well, if you bloat, then you probably should. But remember that you have 100 trillion bacteria in your colon, and there are methane-producing bacteria that live in your colon, and we need those types of bacteria. Okay. It's when they're growing.
I get bloated. Like if I eat bread or I go to a Mexican restaurant and I break down, my willpower breaks down, and I eat those corn chips – for 2 or 3 hours after that meal, I literally feel discomfort that my stomach is so bloated. I feel like someone stuck an air hose in my navel and pumped my stomach up until the extremes that it could go. And I feel that way for hours afterwards.
Yeah, so this would probably help with that. You probably have one of the food sensitivities since you're not having it all the time. And remember that there's certain foods that are harder for us to break down. Gluten's one of them. Corn is one of the processed crops. So the bacteria, depending on your bacterial load, Carl, you may just have just a few bacteria that they start throwing a little party whenever you break down and eat the foods that bother you, and then they enjoy it and they break it down. So it kind of depends on the amount of bacteria that you have. Some people have just a little of any carb at all, and the bacteria just blow them up like crazy because there's so many of the bacteria in there. So I love the fact that you on radio are discussing your stool. This is my world. I have people – ever since the advent of the smartphone, all I do is people show me pictures of their poop all the time.
Yeah. So You know what? People are afraid to look in the toilet after they poop like they're going to be blinded or something. It's like, this is telling the story of how your digestive system is working. You should look at that.
So I'm actually working with a lab now called Vibrant Wellness, and we're having a lot of fun analyzing people's stools and determining that, okay, your diversity is the key to this. So when we look at the type of bacteria in your stool, we can't just sit there and say, oh, you're down on one or up on one. But what you can say is you're not very diverse. There was recently a study that was published where they looked at one of the last hunter-gatherer tribes mm-hmm. in Africa. Mm-hmm. And they analyzed their stool. And they have a heavy vegetable-based diet because that fills them up. That's what they can find. That's right. What they can grow. And then, of course, protein and very few refined carbs. They had the most diverse microbiome of any population that these scientists had ever looked at. So making sure that you take in the foods, I always tell my patients that you see a pregnant woman and we go, oh, she's eating for two. And I say, you should always be eating for 100 trillion.
Yeah, I like that.
Feed your bacteria what they want. They're going to do good things for you.
Well, there's something else that hunter-gatherer tribes don't have. They don't have things like glyphosate in their diet. Which is now so ubiquitous that it's showing up in mother's breast milk and everything else. Glyphosate is a very, very powerful antimicrobial. And antimicrobials taken for long periods of time can start to act like antibiotics. Monsanto has a patent on the combination of glyphosate and amoxicillin to be given to humans in instances where a broad-scoped antibiotic is required. There's a lot to be said for the things that we're eating that shouldn't be in the food chain to begin with. I've had Dr. Anthony Samsel on this show. He's doing all the research. He's the one who's identified that the real threat of glyphosate is that it's a synthetic form of I'm going to forget it now, not leucine. It's a synthetic form of glycine that the body cannot break down and rid, so it bioaccumulates. But one of the things that he came on the show and talked about it when we talk about glyphosate is that it could be disrupting the microbiome to the point where it's actually causing the stomach to allow gliadin and gluten to pass through. It actually may be creating the Trojan horse environment where these things would normally go stay inside the intestines and out the rectum, but they're now leaking in. So that's another thing that these hunter-gatherer tribes don't have. They don't have these things that are actually assaulting our microbiome on a day-in and day-out basis.
100%. So I heard a great lecture by a guy named David Perlmutter.
Yeah, sure.
At PaleoFX. And he was talking about all this stuff, talking about how intestinal permeability relates is actually one of the causes of dementia. And then he brought up glyphosate, that it's actually an antimicrobial. And so after that lecture, I really started looking deeper into the whole glyphosate thing, came across a really cool article. And I'm going to geek out here for a second, so I hope that you don't mind.
No, please.
So one of the reasons why the FDA has allowed glyphosate to be sprayed on the crops is because we lack the enzymatic process to convert glyphosate into its active form. That's actually called a shikimate reaction.
Right, but it turns out that we do have it.
This is how they got it across. As it turns out, the bacteria in our body have it. So let's just say that you have bacterial overgrowth. Then when you eat a diet that's got high glyphosate in it, so let's say bread, wheat, corn,
grains. I mean, all the subsidized crops. Yeah.
So now we've got bacteria that are then converting it into its active form. And the way that it works, so when Monsanto initially, and I'm not an expert in this, I'm just dabbling. So you've had some experts on, but when Monsanto first came out and they were developing these GMO, these genetically modified crops, they were doing it so that they could be tolerant to the glyphosate. So right. The glyphosate gets sprayed on everything else. Everything else dies. The way that it does this, so the shikimate reaction that then depletes a essential amino acid called tryptophan. And you know all about essential amino acids.
Right.
So when tryptophan is – when that's actually depleted, the plants will die. Well, the same thing can happen in our bodies. So when – if bacteria do this and they convert the glyphosate into the active component, then our own tryptophan can decrease. Tryptophan is the precursor for serotonin, which is found in the gut and in the brain. And serotonin is a very important hormone for us that actually controls our happiness. You know, that's now we're putting people on antidepressants now, when reality, oh, this brain-gut reaction could be the real cause of it all. So the whole glyphosate thing is something that I'm a little bit passionate about, and I'm looking more and more into.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. Real fast, my audience can go to our website, superhumanradio.net, and click the Atrantil banner ad. I believe they get a discount when they use a coupon code. It says it in the radio spot. I should know this by heart. I hear
this all day long. I think it's at Love My Tummy.
Yeah.
.com/
Superhuman Radio.
SHR.
Yeah. So, but they can also just go to the website and click it. So I'm telling the audience right now, I'm actually going to order some as soon as the show is over, because I definitely need to use this stuff. I didn't think I needed it, but now that I hear what it does, I absolutely think I need it. But those of you out there who are suffering from bloating, give this product a try, because this could be your saving grace. I love it. I love that it's not a probiotic. I'll tell you the truth.
Yeah, you know, this is something that I think that there is going to be a role for probiotics once we figure out exactly.
Understand them.
Yeah, but the way that we're just throwing them at everybody, it's actually, I think, creating a few more problems.
I agree with you. Listen, Dr. Brown, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, Carl, thank you so much. I love it. I love geeking out like this.
Well,
awesome.
And I'm sure we're going to get questions from the audience, so we'll have you back on to answer some more GI questions, okay?
Anytime.
I already got an email just now. Somebody was listening live. I did a show 8 years ago with Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation about Romheld syndrome. Are you familiar with it?
Ooh, remind me. It rings.
Romheld syndrome is the gastric cardiac connection. People who have large meals and then they end up with tachycardia or bradycardia or some sort of rhythm change. And they go to the hospital and the doctors think it's their heart, but it's not. It's something that you just answered Romheld syndrome when you said the embryonic development of these nerves comes from the same place. That must be the pathway that Romheld syndrome. Someone just said, hey, can you have them talk about Romheld syndrome? And we actually have a show. Romheld syndrome, if this means anything to you, Romheld syndrome is the most downloaded show.
Really?
And the show that I get emails every month about, and we did it 8 years ago. So many people, thank you for doing this show. My doctor thought I was crazy. My doctor put me on Xanax because he says I'm just stressed out. Every time I have a big meal, I go to the hospital because my heart rhythm just starts to flip out. And there is a gastric cardiac connection that we did a show about 8 years ago with Dr. Michael Smith. But you, in 8 years, you elucidated the possible pathway that these nerves, you know, and I remember the President Bush, George W. Bush, he was rushed to the hospital when a pretzel lodged in his esophagus because his heart went berserk. Remember that?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I remember I actually went. So I was on I went to a charity dinner, and it was about 2 years ago, and he was actually the keynote speaker, and he described that whole situation. And it's actually really funny, because while he was, like, his staff was coming in, somebody in the staff leaked it, and he was watching Monday Night Football. And it said a little ticker tape across, President George Bush rushed to hospital due to pretzel incident. And he goes, I'm staring at the TV looking at that going, who told the press that? That's crazy.
That's funny. That's funny. But it's scary. I mean, look, I've swallowed things where the pain in my lower esophagus was so pronounced that I felt like I felt it in my chest, like where my heart is. So now I understand where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny when you were talking about if your listeners were looking at the Romheld syndrome where they thought they were crazy. That's what I get all the time. Second opinions. People come in and they just say, listen, everybody thinks I'm crazy. I feel like I'm in a brain fog. I bloat like crazy. All they do is put me on antidepressants. And I explain to them that, well, it's probably not in your head. It's probably bacteria growing where it shouldn't be. And there's this sense of relief immediately because they're just frustrated.
Because what people don't realize is bacteria – we play host to these bacteria. They don't have legs. They don't have arms. They can't get the food. So they need us. So we have this relationship with them. where we feed them and they either poop stuff that's good for us or poop stuff that's bad for us. And the ones that poop stuff that's bad for us, that's where the brain fog comes from, because you're literally being intoxicated by their poop.
Yeah, so let's – so then that could be one way. So there's a lot of evidence that these bacteria, if you start eating bad, let's say a lot of refined sugars and things like that, the bacteria that love that will proliferate more, and they will send signals to your brain
to get more of what they like. Yeah.
Exactly. And then on the flip side, we look at quebracho here, which is a proanthocyanin tannin. These molecules have been shown to go into the colon, where now we realize that the bacteria will break that down, an epigallic tannin, into a molecule called urolithin. And what urolithin does is it tells aging mitochondria, those are the powerhouses in our cells, to go away. If you're sick, go away. So they cause this thing called mitophagy.
Uh-huh.
All big words, but what I'm saying is it's an anti-aging type thing. So if you feed your bacteria the right stuff, like these polyphenols and atrantil, it works like an anti-aging, because the bacteria go, oh, we're gonna get rid of sick and dying cells.
This is so cool. Okay, so we'll have you back on. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of questions, so we'll save some of this stuff for the next time you're on, okay?
Okay.
All right, Dr. Brown, thanks for being with us today.
Carl, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Tried countless products that promise digestive relief, but you still suffer from bloating. Do you avoid foods that give you a distended stomach and abdominal discomfort? Want something that actually works? You need Otrantil. Otrantil is the first in its class to naturally target the root cause of bloating and finally deliver real relief. Developed by a gastroenterologist, Otrantil is the only proven over-the-counter solution for bloating. Learn more at lovemytummy.com. Otrantil is backed by a 100% money-back guarantee. Visit lovemytummy.com today. Use code SHR for 10% off.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com.
Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. We have a great show tomorrow. We have the Blueprint Power Hour during the first hour, and then the second hour we're going to be joined by a fellow that I met at Spire. If you haven't seen the video on my Facebook page or on the Superhuman Radio Network Facebook page yet, this past weekend, Elisa and I went up to just north of Cleveland, to a place called Geneva, Ohio, which is part of Ashtabula County. My good friend, Dr. William Seeds, and his lovely wife live there. Dr. Seeds is the medical director for Spire. People don't even know about Spire. Spire is the country's largest Olympic training center. It's over a 100-acre complex. I'm talking about multiple buildings, arenas, indoor and outdoor tracks. It's unbelievable. When you see it, you go, my God, why haven't I heard about this before? Some of the greatest athletes go to Spire to train, to recover from injuries, to work with Dr. Seeds, who is a gifted orthopedic surgeon. And he started as a very, very young man working for on athletes for major baseball and football and hockey teams on the East Coast. Quite frankly, he's one of the physicians that perfected arthroscopic surgery, repair of the ACL, the cruciate ligament, which a lot of athletes end up tearing. The facility is unbelievable. You just can't even you every time you go to another building and see the equipment, the level of expertise that these trainers have, the level of expertise that the physicians have. You think to yourself, holy crap, how come I haven't seen this before on a news channel or something? It's just amazing. And so we were up there this weekend, and there's a video on Facebook page, both my personal and the show Facebook page, of just one of the buildings. And we were up there this weekend, and I met a guy who works for Dr. Seeds, and he's a physical therapist that works with a lot of amazing athletes, and the guy is brilliant. He's going to be on the show tomorrow talking about dry needling. And dry needling is really very, very misunderstood. His name is Sean Spade, and he'll be on after the Blueprint Power Hour. You are going to want to listen to this discussion, because if you suffer from chronic fascia issues like bursitis or tendonitis, or if you have muscles that don't fire properly, and you've tried everything, but you've never tried dry needling, this interview is going to be an amazing eye opener for you. I promise you. Why we don't know more about dry needling is beyond me, but it's being used with some of the top athletes in the world, and it's helping them overcome injuries and problems that they have with muscle activation. So that's going to be tomorrow's second hour, so don't miss that. And the rest of the week we have some great shows as well. But anyway, thanks for listening today. Try Atrantil. I haven't tried it yet, I'm sad to say, and I am literally ordering it as soon as I get off the air because I have to try it. But anyway, if you do suffer from bloating or stomach discomfort, definitely give it a try. And we'll see you tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.